In this session, I am going to be talking to you about managing a manager. A lot of the time we think of management and leadership as being an upward sort of process where we are looking to inspire, lead, drive, facilitate things for people who actually work for us. But the same principles, and in fact, some really intriguing principles, apply when we focus on actually managing in the opposite direction, where we are managing the people who are in charge of us, the people who we work for, or the people who we might believe we are accountable to. So professionally, we all report to somebody. I mean, this can apply whether it's a client, it might be a customer, could be a shareholder, for example, if you're the business owner, or it could be what we might term your boss. And what we need to really find is best practice for managing what we'll call a line manager, so that we can really ensure that it's a win-win scenario. This is the ultimate. I think a lot of the time when the word boss is used, it has connotations that go back many, many decades into being somebody who bosses you, into somebody who is in charge. You know, all these kind of phrases put you in a subservient position. And it doesn't have to be like that. And that's what we're going to explore in this session, the idea of managing your manager so that you can be performing at the highest level, you can be providing the most value, your line manager will really understand the value that you're bringing, and that you can both then get a win-win scenario. Now, a lot of these things are really, really quite obvious. They're not kind of rocket science, and it really does begin at the beginning. So what I'd like to do is to just make you imagine for a moment, if this isn't the situation that you're in, this is actually quite a useful starting point, is think about if you are potentially seeing a new line manager coming into your organization or into your department or into your team, and you have to induct them. Okay, so this might be the reality. You might be facing challenging times at work, and suddenly you are reporting to somebody different. So how do you begin this process of managing a line manager in the point of induction? Well, a lot of the time you would think of as an induction as something that applies to you. So you're being inducted, you're learning, you're absorbing, you're going into sponge mode and, you know, gathering all the information that you possibly can. Well, imagine it on the other foot. So your line manager is in that phase. So they are being inducted. How can you support and or manage your manager when they are coming in to join a new team? Well, first thing you can do is to demonstrate your collaboration skills and experience. The key here is to really understand or help your line manager, your new manager, understand that you are a collaborative team player. Okay. And also the specialist experience and value that you are going to bring to them. Okay. So this isn't a big show reel of, you know, how amazing you are or anything like that. It is a very, very simple concept of I'm here. I have this level of specialism. I have this experience and this background, and I'm ready and able and willing to collaborate with you. Okay, so it's not about saying, here's all my problems and you're the new manager, right? Can you sort all these problems for me? That would be the opposite end of the spectrum. This is all about just saying, okay, I'm putting a stake in the ground here with you, my new line manager, and I'm saying I'm collaborative, I'm here to help, here to work collaboratively as a team. And I have this level of experience in these areas. And that's really, really key, because what it does, it sets a level of expectation. And alongside that, I'd also recommend that you establish that you will be saying the right kind of no to them when it's appropriate. In other words, having said you're collaborative, having said that you're experienced and specialist in a certain area, that doesn't open up the floodgates for saying yes to everything. And I think the very, very important thing at this early point of induction of this new person is to say, when it's appropriate, I'm going to say no, but it's not no, never. It's no, not now, or no, I don't think I'm the best person to do this. Because remember, at the point of induction, your line manager is learning who's going to be best to serve particular tasks, who they can call on for certain things, and also what the priorities are here and who's doing what. So establishing that you will be saying the right kind of no when it's appropriate is really important. Bear in mind, obviously, they're going through this induction. So understanding what their goals and objectives are, what are their pain points? You know, what are the kind of worries or concerns that they have? You know, treat them at this stage as very much a peer, as a colleague. You know, I know ultimately you're going to probably be thinking of them as your line manager, but at this stage, they're a human being. Not saying they wouldn't be then, of course, but they are a human being and they are needing support and help and assistance. So understanding their sensitivities is really important at this point of induction. And that's why I'm saying this is a very, very good, strong baseline that you're setting here. You can also use a number of different techniques to work out and figure out between you a really healthy and productive working style going forward. So think for a moment, are they extrovert and are they introvert? You know, and which are you? So if you are fueled by interactions with others, then you're extrovert. If you're very much somebody who is fueled by internal reflection and spending time alone, then you're more introverted. Now, figure out very quickly, even in conversation, asking your line manager, kind of, what are your preferences here? There's no right or wrong. There is no better or less good. There's just preference. So what is their preference? Is it towards extrovert? They want to do things collaboratively together, sharing, caring, and that kind of thing. Or are they reflectors? Are they somebody who just needs a little bit of space to kind of, you know, feel their way through a particular challenge or problem? Understanding that and how you then will interact with that is really important as a preference. The next question you could ask is, are they sensing or intuitive? In other words, do they like lists of very, very clear things where it does what it says on the tin? Or are they more intuitive? They go more with a gut feel for things. They're more, and they probably would find themselves using the word feeling rather than thinking a lot more. So, you know, which is their preference there? Are they sensing or are they more intuitive? And also, do you hear them use the word, oh, I feel this or I feel that? Or do they use the words, I think this or I think that? Because again, coming at them with particular information that is of a more feeling preference, and if they're a big thinker rather than a feeler, then you might not be hitting them at the point that is going to establish the best relationship in the beginning. So understanding these preferences is a really important starting point with this baseline. And a really key one, these sort of dichotomies, I guess you could call them, come from the Myers-Briggs preference scale. So extroversion or introversion, sensing or intuition, feeling or thinking. And the fourth one is, are they planful or are they more spontaneous? In other words, do they play before they work or do they work and finish their work before they play? That's a really nice one to be figuring out, because if they are a very planful person, so they like to get things in order and done rather than just be spontaneous and leave, you know, things to chance and leave opportunities open, then you'll be sensing actually how best to, in a moment when we start to talk about how to communicate and report and collaborate with this person, you'll be really understanding their style of working, if you like. So think planful or spontaneous. You know, if they're the kind of person who you can see evidence that they would be like, oh, no, we'll plan to a point, but actually we need to sort of, you know, have a lot more sort of open sort of blue sky thinking meetings, and we need to kind of just see how things go with this or with that, you know, then they're into spontaneity. Whereas if actually they like to see a really, really rigid, robust plan, it's well planned out in terms of contingencies, there's almost like a risk management section in it, then you know that that would be a certain way that you could then be working with them and collaborating with them into the future. So these are quite profound but subtle things that you can really establish at this very, very first meeting that you'll have with the person. So let's move a little bit deeper into the relationship. Let's talk about how to brief your line manager. Well, one of the key things here is to constantly feed useful and informative information and assets and materials to them. So if you drip feed to them things that are just useful for their everyday, things that are going to make them look good with their peers, things that are going to help them to develop as well, and that they probably aren't going to get from anywhere else. Well, one, it positions you as the specialist, but two, it positions you as a really, really helpful ally. So when there's a big open question, question and nobody really knows the answer, you'll probably be the one who gets the email or the call. And it's like, hey, Neil, you know, what do you think about this? You know, you've been sort of sharing all this kind of information with me over recent months. And, you know, I think you might have a view on this particular topic. Well, what do you think? And so you become then a really useful kind of resource, but ally, I think, is a really, really key word here to be using. It's, you know, you become this kind of compatriot, if you like, as you're working together. How you would also brief them is to stay calm in a storm. What a manager really doesn't need is people who panic, who add to the chaos. You know, we do live in very uncertain times. I mean, there's no doubt about that. In most sectors, in most organizations, there is a lot of uncertainty. So, you know, managing your manager in a calm, assured, not that you're covering things up, but just that you're in a considered mindset is a really useful way of building influence with that person. Also, really key when you're briefing them is to present evidence-based options. Everything needs to be based around evidence. Either it's research evidence or it could be numerical evidence. It just needs to be more solid than just, hey, I've got this great idea. Your manager doesn't need to hear a great idea. Your manager needs to hear a great idea that's backed up with some kind of evidence to give it more gravitas, to give it more weight. So present everything as an evidence-based option. And wherever you can, because what you're probably going to be doing is helping them to make better decisions, is reduce the risk in those decisions. In other words, you could give a binary choice. You could say, look, manager, I've got these two options really on the table to solve this particular challenge. We could go with option A. Here's the evidence. Here's the risk associated with it. Here's option B. Here's the evidence. And here's this associated risk. I'd recommend it's option B, actually, based on, you know, just my kind of view of how the evidence is looking, but the choice is yours. So a solid briefing that gives binary options to make this decision making less risky and just more confident in your line manager's eyes and thoughts. And as we've said earlier, understanding their preferred working style by asking those Myers-Briggs preference questions can actually establish then how the briefing is going to come through. And this might be you've got to put some details for a particular campaign, or there's a new project idea that you've been tasked with, or you're doing some internal kind of working with a particular multidisciplined team and you have to report back so that they can take it to the senior management meeting. Understanding their preferred style of being briefed and literally asking the question, how would you like me to brief you, is a really key thing that a lot of us miss. We do it on our own terms, whereas actually if we listened and responded in the way that the manager is going to find most comfortable, that is probably using a really customer-focused approach to them. And of course, if they want just a little snappy bullet point list of things, because that is their preference, that's what you give them. You know, you might want to do the big, long story tell with all the narrative and all the lovely pictures and diagrams and photos and appendices. And if they're not going to read it, you're wasting your time. So understanding their preferred working style and how they like to be briefed and how you can actually add value to their working day is key at this stage in the relationship development. And also, this would extend in how best to report to them. So if you think about reporting to your line manager, always present opportunities, not problems. The last thing you want to be doing is giving your manager problems to solve. And if you, wherever you can, partially solve or present the options in advance. In other words, if you're asked to report back on a particular project, particular campaign, particular initiative, is present back your evidence-based views, the results of the project, what you would do next time. So, you know, some kind of legacy reporting here so that you can say, look, here's some areas of improvement that I would suggest we do. And, oh, by the way, I've taken the initiative here and I've partially solved this for the next time. So it might be that, look, I've created this framework as a result of what we saw in this project so that when we do it next time or when somebody else in the team does it, they have this partially solved thing that they can take forward. So you're presenting these things as a partially completed thing. Now, if of course your line manager comes back and says, well, actually, let's go back a few steps here, but they've had the option to do that. But if they're very busy and actually you provided a great solution anyway, they're more than often going to say, that's really good, Neil. You know, well done. That's really helpful to me. Right, let's pass this over to Mike over there, and Mike can take it forward from here. So it actually makes their life easier. It allows the energy of this relationship to flow. Solve the tiny problems and save the big stuff for your manager. Don't go to your manager constantly with lots of little issues that need solving. You need to take the initiative and accountability to solve those things. That is really, really important. Saving the big stuff for your manager means that anytime you go to them, they know this is serious. This is a big deal and they've got to pay attention. If you're constantly pecking at them with little things that you could have dealt with, then they are not going to take the big stuff seriously. Now, it might sound really obvious, but I've seen so many cases over the years of these little issues that just get pecked and pecked and pecked. And then when you need something from your manager, they're just not going to pay attention because, oh, here comes Neil with another one of those little issues he's got. Gosh, if only he could sort them himself. That's really, really key. Also, when you're reporting, proactively seek 360-degree feedback. You know, this is your manager. Managers are not there to feel daunted against. You know, you really can use them and think of them as a colleague. They have other responsibilities. They have other accountability. They've got other goals and targets that are maybe beyond yours. Maybe they're bigger scale than yours. But irrespective of that, 360-degree reviews and feedback are really critical. You are a key cog in this machine. You are somebody who's going to be adding some significant value in the whole makeup of your organization. So proactively seeking 360-degree feedback allows you to constantly improve in the eyes of your line manager. And what kind of member of staff, you know, wouldn't be valuable doing that? Because there's this constant and continuous improvement that will have a spin-off benefit to other team members too. So it's not about being all goody-goody, oh yes, here comes Neil, and perfect Neil doing this 360-degree review all the time. It just sets the precedent. It just sets a really positive mindset for everybody in the team. And the final bit about reporting in terms of managing your manager is to become the go-to specialist for things that you happen to be particularly good at or particularly experienced in or particularly enjoy or particularly curious about. It doesn't have to be that you are the absolute expert, but becoming a go-to specialist means that you are a trusted resource and ally for the organization. None of us are perfect. None of us could really claim to being, you know, the definitive expert on any subject. But being a specialist means that you're focusing on particular things in particular areas. And then when those things are required by your manager or by the rest of the organization, you're the person who's called first. So again, adding the value to the relationship as well as to, you know, your career development as well. Now, of course, this is kind of implying that everything's going to go smoothly. So the next thing I want to focus on in managing your manager is how to negotiate. The word negotiate is one of those things that we could spend, you know, a whole day and more talking about. But it is one of those things that's really important in this. And I always call it a professional dance with other people and colleagues, and particularly with your manager. So one of the ways to negotiate with your line manager is to stay task focused. Now, I'm not saying it's all about being robotic and not being a human being, but staying task focused takes away some of the stuff that might just cloud judgment, that it might kind of get in the way of good decision making. It might just slow down the support that you could give. So make sure that if you're negotiating, you're staying very task focused. And of course, that includes priorities as well. I'll talk a little bit more about priority setting in a moment. When you negotiate, work with the return on investment and achievement of objectives. If all else fails and you're failing to agree something with your line manager, work from return on investment, ROI, and work backwards. So reverse engineer backwards from these collective objectives that have been set for you and your line manager as a team or as a working partnership, because ultimately that's why you're there. Ultimately, that is what the organization's paying you to do. So if you need to negotiate and you're trying to take out subjectivity from the conversation, is think about actually stop a minute, pause, Why are we here? Well, it's to achieve these goals. Okay, so let's work backwards and see if we can negotiate around the workload or around the resources or around the budget so that I can help and support you, line manager, to achieve these objectives. Also, it's really important to set and retain some really healthy boundaries. Now, a lot of the time, if you're working in a very close working environment, it can feel that team members, colleagues, and also your manager, they become your buddy, they become your friend. And that isn't always a healthy boundary to set. Yes, we need a good, strong working relationship, but actually remember that this is a working relationship. And particularly in smaller organizations, particularly organizations that are family owned or family led, often these boundaries can become clouded. So negotiation and the very careful choreographing of day-to-day activities comes from setting and retaining very healthy boundaries. So knowing what the objectives and goals are, knowing what your role and your line manager's role is, and respecting it. And not overstepping it, not becoming too much of a buddy, not saying, I did all that for you. Well, you can now scratch my back because, but actually doing it in a very professional way at all times. And the final bit about negotiation is really appreciating your manager's blind spots. You know, none of us know everything, and a lot of us don't know what we don't know. But we can see this in others because we observe them, we watch them, and we're sensitive to the things that, you know, maybe they can't actually spot about themselves. So this isn't about saying, oh, I know something you don't know about yourself, but it's about very subtly using that knowledge if you're an active listener and if you're really watching the development of this relationship with your manager. It's about really appreciating where, one, they might have weaknesses, two, they might have things that they're really not aware that they're doing, and then appreciating those things, actually, you know, responding to those things in a really productive way, maybe infilling. If there's certain weaknesses your line manager has and you think, you know, I could just make them feel better if I just do it and get on with it. Those kinds of things can really help in the negotiation, because even if your line manager isn't aware that you've done it, subconsciously, they will understand the value that you're bringing. So some of this stuff is really, really subtle. Some of it's very obvious and it's very direct. Some of it is a lot more subtle and behind the scenes. And this brings me to the next point, which is how to influence your line manager. And this is often a really interesting one, because you can admit you got it wrong. You can admit and be vulnerable that I don't know how to do that. You can say, look, I'm really struggling here. I've just got too much on. Or I just need to get back and go home because I've got to do the school run because my child isn't well. Be vulnerable. Admit when you've got it wrong. Do say no. This is a human being you're dealing with. The more you do this, the more you entrain them to respond in a positive way to you. Now, this is counterintuitive for a lot of people because they're in the traditional, probably now quite archaic mindset of my boss is my boss. I cannot be vulnerable. I have to look and appear strong at all times. I have to say yes and just get on with it and find a way. The actual truth is you don't. Okay, you have choices here. You can respond as a human being. Yes, you've both got roles in the organization. Yes, you've got a role in the relationship that you have together. So you have choices. So sometimes it could be interesting to explore how do they react? And I'm not talking about being vulnerable and completely breaking down or saying absolutely everything about your personal life, things that you wouldn't normally share with a work colleague. I'm not saying to that extent. What I am saying is there's an opportunity here to explore the word vulnerability. There is an opportunity to explore the word weakness and actually admitting, like, I need to upskill in this particular area because it isn't a strength of mine. And I don't feel particularly confident doing this thing, but I will. And if we can work together to figure out how best I can do it, then I'm more than willing to take it on. So it's about how. It's not about the what, it's about how you communicate these things. Also influencing your line manager comes from prioritizing. So prioritizing what you've been asked to do and then sharing and negotiating a reprioritization if that's appropriate. In other words, if you feel and you think that you are fully loaded, so you have filled every single moment of every day with high valued stuff, and your manager comes along and says, Neil, can you just do this, please? And you look at it and you think, hold on a minute, I'm already fully loaded. What you don't do is fold your arms and be really disgruntled, or you say yes when you actually meant no, but you're really honest and say, look, line manager, I've prioritized all of these tasks, all of these priorities, and then they're all there in this order. And I kind of feel I've, you know, done it on the basis of what's important and what's urgent. So I've got this priority list here. In fact, I've put it in a grid. It's not just a linear graph here. It's actually in a grid. So we can start to make some choices. Now you've given me this additional task here to do. Now, from my perspective, I don't think I've got the capacity or the mind space to be able to deal with this one. So could we kind of revisit my prioritize list here and actually see if there's anything that could move out to give me the space to give this valuable time? Now, can you see what I've done there? I haven't said no, but I've kind of said no to the line manager by doing that, because what I've done is I've introduced the idea that we need to kind of negotiate what's actually going to slip if you've asked me to do this when I'm actually feeding back to you that I can't take anything more on. So I'm not saying no, I'm saying work with me here. I'm saying, look, some of the stuff down here I'm rating as being less important and less urgent. Do you agree with me? Because if you do, well, let's just put that one off and I can slot this new thing in at a higher priority. So it is quite a simple process, but it does require confidence, because you'll want to say yes. As human beings, commercially, we all want to say yes to things. But if you say no, but for the right reasons, then what you're doing is you're actually giving your line manager a great decision-making option here, because the last thing they want to do is really overload you, because what are they going to get? Well, that's going to backfire. So actually, you're making their life easier in the long run by being proactive, by being confident, by being open and sharing and renegotiating that position with them. Another way to influence them is to use we more than I. So anytime you're in conversation with them, maybe you're talking about your existing work or your existing projects, or you're maybe exploring some new options that you have, use the word we. Talk collaboratively. This is a great way for your line manager to subconsciously really understand that you've got their back, you're on their side, you're working to support them, and then they will mirror that activity too. So using we more than I is such a strong way to influence and negotiate in a working situation. And as I've said before, consistent evidence-based binary decision-making is key. So when you are looking for a decision on a particular project and you say, look, are we okay to go with this one? Present a second option and say, look, we can go with this one. This is the one I'm recommending. This is the one I prefer because I think this is going to be the best one for us as a team and as an organization. It's going to get us closer to delivering our objectives. But there is this second option that I found over here. What do you think? I'm recommending the first one, but I wanted to show you this one just in case you thought, and they're going to go with the one that you've recommended, because by this point, they will have the confidence and belief that you're giving them the best option each time. So to summarize, managing your line manager, it isn't rocket science, but it does take attention, it does take confidence, and it does take some level of exploration. This is about building good habits. So focusing on best mutual outcomes, always, all the time, every time. Always, always have your manager's back. Don't talk about them to anybody else behind their back. Always be a trusted royal guard, if we could call it that. Imagine that, you know, you are there to protect them. You're there to look after them. You're there to have their back when they're not in the room or when they're not in the meeting. And they will do the same to you. The law of reciprocity is a key one here. You will get reciprocally what you put out. So if you've got your manager's back, they'll have your back too. Help your manager to look great to their peers. You know, a lot of commercial work, a lot of work in a professional sense is based around ego. It's about the position an individual has within their ecosystem of others, within the relationships they have. So if you can help your manager to always look great to their peers, well, you are going to be rewarded in the relationship that you have with them too. Build on strengths and infill weaknesses. This is really key. I mean, obviously, you would try and do this yourself anyway. So building on your own strengths and infilling your weaknesses with other resources from elsewhere. So if somebody else can do this because they're better placed, because they're better at it, or they're stronger at it, then you can work with your strengths on something else. And do the same with your line manager. If you see that they've got weaknesses in a particular area, see if you can infill those and build on their strengths with your strengths collaboratively. And here's an interesting one. I always like this particular idea when it comes to working with a line manager, is also you have the option to get a mentor. Now, this might be somebody outside of your team, outside your department, even outside of your organization, but getting a mentor with whom you can have these kinds of conversations so that you can reflect privately. You can reflect on how things are going in your journey of managing your manager. Getting a mentor, somebody who's either been there before or will see it from a different perspective, will open up a whole host of opportunities for you. So I hope this has been useful. I hope this has given you a few ideas and some food for thought for how to manage your line manager. Of course, all of these things apply to managing colleagues and working with colleagues as well. They are just good commercial and organizational relationship building tools and techniques. That's what these things are. So I wish you every success on this journey. And if you have any further questions or if there's anything that you'd like to kind of test out or discuss, connect with me on social at Neil Wilkins X. You'll find me on all the social networks, and I will more than happily answer any questions if I can, or point you in the direction of a variety of different resources on this topic. Thank you for listening, and good luck managing your line manager.